Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Expert Series, an inspiring, empowering series where some of the world's cutting-edge mind, body, spirit healers, coaches, and leaders are coming together to share with you their wisdom, their tools, so that you can move beyond your fears, self-doubts, limiting beliefs, plus heal pain, illness, and trauma. I'm your host, Tanya Penny, self-love catalyst, vibrant body, and abundant life coach. And I'm devoted to helping you heal pain, illness, and trauma so that you can enjoy a healthy body, peaceful mind, and balanced lifestyle. You really do deserve to fully live your passionate, purposeful life with abundance and freedom. So today I am super excited to share with you the wisdom of Nadia El-Megrabi. So today we're going to be diving into another one of the 10 keys of the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Blueprint. And Nadia and I today are going to be diving into stressing less, life balance, and nurturing you, so that you can have a healthy body and abundant life. So let me tell you a little bit about Nadia. Nadia is a licensed psychotherapist and holistic health advocate. She works with clients using a 360-degree approach, focusing on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of their being. She has spent her life following her heart and doing what feels right for her, and is uniquely qualified to help others do the same. She offers seasonal clean eating and gut rebuilding programs that guide clients to overhaul their health from the inside out using an easy process. She is a strong advocate for personal responsibility and helps her clients find simple ways to incorporate radical self-care into their daily routine. She truly believes that through sisterhood, you can begin to nourish your hopes, dreams, and desires. So let's give a warm welcome to Nadia. Hello, Nadia.
Hi, Tanya. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You are so welcome, Nadia. I just love it when people come together the way we have. You were introduced to me by another wonderful, amazing leader and coach, Vasavi, who's also a part of this amazing kickoff series. And she said, if you've got any room left, you've got to talk to my client, Nadia. And I said, all right, bring it on, because you fit the perfect, pretty much the perfection of the stress less and balance you topic that we're diving into today. So I'm really, really excited too.
I love how that lines up, and that's wonderful, because that's one of the things that I love to speak about and help people to create more of, stressing less and living a happier and more nourishing life. So I love that it worked out the way that it did.
Everything unfolds in divine time, and there are no coincidences, I believe. So with that, let's go ahead. Yeah, let's go ahead and dive in. As I'm asking all of the experts, what does having a vibrant body and abundant life look like, mean like for you today? I know that can change over the course of our lifetime, but what does that mean to you, and what does that look like for you today?
Having a vibrant body for me looks like I feel good in my body. It means that I can do the things that I want to do physically without pain and feeling energized and well rested. It means that I can go throughout my day and flow throughout my day and do all of the things that are meaningful to me with ease. And, you know, if it is interacting with my children or picking them up or moving things or or exercising or going outside and playing, whatever it is, that I can feel alive and pain-free and happy in my body. So that is what having a vibrant body means for me. And then an abundant life is that life is full of things that I love to do. It's having being able to go from one thing to the next and enjoying those things and setting my day up in a way that I'm looking forward to the things that I get to do instead of having a mentality of like, oh, I have to do this. and that's something that's kind of, that's changed for me over the years. It's like, no, I want to enjoy my life and to really cherish those things, even if it is something that it's not, you know, the on the top of my list, but finding the joy in that.
Oh, I love that, Nadia. I think you just said two really important things there. First of all, you mentioned the word ease, and that is actually my word for 2017. I always pick a word every year, and ease. So everything, like receiving it all with ease. And then the other thing that you said that is so, I love it, and I myself have been really focusing on that, is bringing joy, more joy into my life with everything that I do, even if it's the so-called to-do list, you know, like going to the bank or going grocery shopping or, you know, some of those things that doing your taxes, some of those things that maybe the ego says is not very fun, right?
Right. And it is. I think it's a matter of perspective, right? And, not everything that we get to do throughout our day is going to be, you know, the highest on our list, like doing taxes, which, of course, you know, that is the time of year. And there is something, you know, when I get started doing that, which I'm in the process right now, it's like, oh, you know, there is some fun in it. And it's like, it's like getting started is hard, but once I do, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. So it's like there's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of like, okay, here's what happened over this past year and kind of reliving the year through going through expenses and earning.
Well, what can you do to make it fun, right? Whatever it is.
Right.
Right now we're talking about taxes because, yes, it's very present in our life right now while we're doing the interview. But even, you know, whether it's, you know, I like to play music, like fun music when I'm doing my taxes. Sometimes I light a candle. Maybe I have some of my juju essential oils in the background. And it might even mean I'm having a glass of wine while I do my taxes. So
there you go. Right. Maybe not too many, but one or two is perfect.
Yeah, maybe not the whole bottle, because then who knows what the taxes will look like. But and this is great to dive into this too, because, you know, really, when you're bringing joy to everything in your life, like if that's your focus, then again, it really does help to decrease our perceived stress, right? So really moving into that topic today of stress and life balance and nurturing you. So why is it important? You know, everyone knows my soapbox of why it's important, but why do you feel it's important that we really learn ways to manage and lessen our stress and have more life balance so that we can have the healthy body and abundant life?
When we have less stress, we're more able to enjoy our lives. And so finding ways to stress less, I think, is incredibly important. And to even recognizing that we are stressed, because sometimes I think we go through life and we're constricted and things aren't working the way we want them to, but we might not even realize that we are stressed. And
I think you just brought up a really important point there that I think is, it's so crazy how even myself, until I got that diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, I maybe knew I was stressed, but I didn't even know to the extent of it, right? So I think our stress levels, our baseline is so high for a lot of people that we don't even realize it because we've been in it for so long. So, like, when you're working with your clients, what are some of, like, the ways that, like, people that are listening right now, you can say, okay, these are some of the ways that you know that you're stressed out, like mentally, physically, and emotionally. What might you be experiencing?
So one of the things that you might be experiencing, I like to go inward, go into the body and just feel. So like taking some deep breaths and feeling what's there, because you may, when you do that, like close your eyes and sit quietly and just take a few deep breaths and really feel what's going on in your body. And is there tightness anywhere? Is there pain anywhere? Like, notice what you feel. This is one of the ways that we can kind of see, you know, like, is there tight, like, in the neck and shoulder area? What does that feel like?
So what I'm hearing you say is, number one, first we have to slow down enough.
Right.
So first we have to actually take time, right, take time and slow down and tune in to the breath and the body. And I totally agree. The body never lies is what I tell my clients. Right? The body never lies. So whether it's an illness or whether it's tightness, whether it's a headache, you know, even taking time to slow down and notice what's in your body is so key to, you know, everyone wants life balance. And it's like, well, you got to slow down and you got to tune in to have it.
And to really feel what's there and notice what's there, because I think so many times we just get wrapped up in the next to-do, and we're unaware of how we are really feeling. And we're looking outside of ourselves for that next thing or to be, we want this or we want that, but really to find peace, to find what it is that we're looking for, we need to go inward. And part of that is seeing the stress that's there and then and implementing some tools to manage that stress. And even just that process of going in can help us to manage the stress or implementing a meditation or breathing exercises every day, doing something that facilitates us going inward. So
That helps you to slow down and go inward, right? You know, sometimes
exactly.
Sometimes we need tools. You know, the whole thing with stress that I have found, and maybe you have found it too, is that sometimes we even stay really busy because we really, as much as we want to change the thing that is stressing us out, we're kind of afraid to really look at it.
Right.
We're kind of afraid to even really look at the underlying cause. So it's like once we tune in and listen to the breath in the body and realize, like, oh my God, I am really stressed and this is showing me that. Now it's like, okay, what's causing it? And that can bring up a lot of fear for people. And I think that's why a lot of people don't want to slow down and tune in. What do you feel about that?
I think that we live in an extremely stressful society, and in a way we take that for granted. And what I mean is that we just assume this is how we're supposed to feel. And we
almost like a trophy
up.
For some people, too.
Yeah. And to keep so busy, you know, and that's like you had a good point there, that we keep ourselves so busy. I mean, that's something to notice. Like, is that a need? Is that, like, do I feel like I have to be doing something all the time? And what would it be like if I don't do that? Like, what would it be like if I just sit down and relax, or, you know, have a cup of tea on the porch, or go play with my kids for 10 minutes or 20 minutes?
Ooh,
and notice.
Yeah, you just brought up the have-tos, right? That do I really need, right? So do I really need to do all these things that I think I need to do that are actually maybe creating a lot of stress, right? Because I'm too busy. And really looking at, you know, one of the things I ask my clients is, what are the have-tos, shoulds, and supposed-tos that you've been telling yourself that are keeping you so busy, and they're not even really, it's not even really true?
Mm-hmm. Right. And how many things have we been doing repetitively that we don't necessarily have to do? And
no.
So one of the things that I like to do with my clients is that too, like we can create new habits. And so it's about adding in more than taking away. Because when we add in, like if we add in meditation, for example, that might take away other things in our lives that aren't as supportive and nurturing to us. If we add in clean foods to our diet, like more vegetables, more whole foods, less packaged foods, that will, you know, when we add in those healthier foods, we will be less likely to reach for the packaged foods. When we have some prepared healthy foods in our refrigerator that we have prepared, then we don't need to go to the pantry and get some crackers or a box of cookies.
I think that is especially true with nutrition. You know, when we talk about nurturing you, I often talk about the, you know, nutrition, rest, and movement. And a lot of times, you know, people come with that belief system, right? Like we're denying ourselves or we're taking something away. So that's why I'm really glad that you brought up that adding in piece. Because like you said, if you're adding in more of like veggies and those things, then the other things may be bumped out a little bit, and you won't even reach for them. And the same thing like for meditation too. I often hear, I'm sure you hear it too, how am I going to make time for meditation? And I don't know what your answer is, but mine is, well, maybe if you take time to meditate, you'll do less of those unhealthy stress habits, watching TV, whatever, eating too much, whatever it is, right? By adding that in. So do you find that to be true and something that you come up with your clients as well?
And I'll just encourage people, like, you've got 5 minutes, right? Like, you can spare 5 minutes. Like, start there. Even start with a one-minute meditation and doing a breathing exercise for 1 minute, because it's something. And for somebody that feels like they can't do that, it's like most people can commit to 1 minute. And then they can
commit
to 5 minutes.
My dear, I think you just brought up a most important point, because I talk about how that all-or-nothing thinking is maybe what you're also alluding to. A lot of people think, if I don't, you know, run for 60 minutes, or if I don't meditate for 30 minutes, or if I don't do yoga for a full hour, like fill in the blank, right? It's like that perfection or that all or nothing thinking. It can totally hold us back, and it causes a lot of stress, right?
Right. It does. And it's not about perfection. I mean, that's not what life is about. Life is a process, and I like to think of it as a game, or we're playing, and we get to, like, if we get to meditate and sit and breathe for 5 minutes, how exciting is that? And it's not, we don't have to think about, oh, I have to do this now for the rest of my life. We get to think of, like, oh, I get to sit and enjoy myself for 5 minutes and see what's going on in my inner world. And that can
beautiful.
Open up just a world of vastness.
So when people say to you, I don't have enough time, because that's the most common, right? That's the most common thing I come up against when people come to me and they say, I'm so stressed. I don't have enough life balance. I don't even have time to nurture me. What do you say to your people? What do you suggest to the people that are listening to this around time? Because that really is probably the biggest thing that'll hold us back.
I know, and that's been a big one for me, too, is time. And I feel like that's one this past year that I've been working on a lot, is to kind of unhook from that, not enough time. I want to do this, 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 this. And part of that, I think, is really prioritizing what is important. So what are your most important priorities? And, you know, for most people, it's family, right? I mean, if we have kids, it's family. But do we prioritize that? Wanting to do well at work. Okay. All of those things. So whatever it is that's most important to you, what do you need to be able to give that your all? If you're not feeling well, if you're not taking care of yourself, and nurturing yourself, you're only able to give 75% to your work that you love, or your family.
Right. So whether it's whether it's work or family, because I do think for a lot of people, I love that whole like get clear on what your priorities are. And a lot of people, it's not just work, even though that's where most people tend to spend most of their time. And you know what I mean? And it's like, okay, if you know, you've got to get clear on work alone is not a priority. You know, my family's also a priority. My health, obviously, a lot of people are listening to this series, are listening in because they have mental, physical, or emotional illness, right? A lot of people that are here have that. And so, you know, we have to really look at, can we even give what we want to these other areas if our health is not being taken care of?
Right.
If physically, mentally, and emotionally we're not in a good place, you know, we can't be the superwomen we're here to be, or men.
Right. And that, and how are we showing up for other people if we can't really show up for ourselves?
Absolutely. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, we have so much more to give when we feel filled up. And I know it sounds like counterintuitive to many people when they're not in, they haven't been making their own self-care a priority. But I encourage people to try that, to really try to put themselves first and to be selfish. Because by being selfish and caring about ourselves and treating ourselves like we would want to treat our, you know, sweet little child or animal or whatever it is that we love so much, and treating ourselves with that kind of care and love, it will transform our lives. And I know many of us have had that message throughout our lives that, you know, putting ourselves first is being selfish, and you should be selfless. You should put
especially women
before yourself. Right.
I think
that's part of that
women,
superwoman.
Mm-hmm.
I had that messaging, and, you know, and still do to an extent where it's like, oh, I should be able to do it all. Like, I should be able to, you know, work and take care of
work
my family.
Work 30 hours, take care of my family.
I think I've been pretty good about asking for help, because that's another part of this is asking for help. You know, I get a lot of help with my kids from my mom and my mother-in-law, who are amazing and have helped me, so that it's allowed me to do some of the things that are important for me, knowing that I can count on them to help out with certain things. I mean, and that's from when they were small, too.
I think that support piece is huge, Nadia. And I know we talked a little bit about it before we jumped on today. That is part of the superwoman syndrome, that so many women, and men too, you know, I don't want to leave them out.
No, it's true.
You know, we've been conditioned growing up. Right. And when I say conditioned, like you said, messaging, I use the word conditioning. It's the same thing. Growing up, we saw, right? I don't know what you saw, but I saw my mom totally be a people pleaser, try to do things for other people, and really didn't take always time out for herself, and really maybe didn't even know how to nurture herself either. And I saw my dad, you know, he was kind of a workaholic. So, you know, I grew up with that conditioning, and I'm guessing, you know, you had your own version of that.
Yeah, it's pretty similar, actually. Definitely pretty similar. And everything's supposed to be contained within the home. Whereas really, like, humans aren't, it's not necessarily the best way for us to live, just as a nuclear family. We are communal people. And I think, like, to be truly happy as a society, we need to move back to more of that way of living, at least of reaching out to our neighbors and reaching out to people in our community that we can count on and to support each other in ways that we're
able to. I love the virtual world, but I think you're onto something here. That many of us have, you know, it's almost like we've been isolating ourselves for whatever reason. And so really, you know, reaching out and asking and delegating, right, so that you can have support. So you have, like you said, the time to either, you know, meditate or the time to go meet friends, because you can't just have all work or all quote-unquote family stuff either. You've got to have the play, the alone time.
Right.
I call it me time versus we time, right? All of that is needed to have that life balance. So
it's
time to hang up our superwoman cape and ask for support. And it might even look like hiring someone to clean the house. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Or a babysitter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or help prepare meals. You know, some of us like to do things like that. Others of us don't. Some moms like to take care of the kids more, and others, you know, like to cook more. You know, it's like we can share those responsibilities when we set it up with our neighbors and our friends, so that
Absolutely.
We don't have to do it all ourselves, or to get together and make meals together, or, you know, have the kids, you know, have the kids over here one day and then over at another house one day, and or get together with a group of people so that we're all doing some of these things together. And, you know, another thing that has been vital in my life is being part of a woman's group and organization where it's really been, we're connected on a meaningful level. It's like a spiritual level and a working with each other in a healing process and coming together.
Like-minded, right? Like that like-minded community of women and men, right, that are on the same path that, gosh, because the stuff that we're going through, we need a lot of emotional support.
Yes, and coming together and seeing the best and the highest in each other. And I think that that's part of what we're missing in the broader society, is not getting that support as the highest version of me, and like seeing each person in the community as being in their highest good and wanting that for the other people in our community. And when we hold that for each other, we are all elevated, and we're all able to put our best foot forward and to stand in integrity when we're all holding ourselves at that higher level. And not, you know, I think I, you know, in my past, I've been a part of groups where there's like, you know, it's like,
I think you just hit something very important there. A lot of my clients, and maybe this is true for you because this was true for me as well, that we had that fear of actually reaching out, asking for support, or being in a group, because in the past, many of us have been in groups that were not supportive. They either didn't show up, or they actually criticized you or put you down.
So and there's a lot of
pain. It kind of feels like.
And there's a lot of pain in those relationships and in ourselves, and that we need healing from. Like, so, you know, there's so much in what we're talking about, and there's healing to be done, I think, on multiple levels, and to realize that, you know, to realize, like, you know, the society that we've grown up in isn't necessarily a healthy society, and it's okay to not feel great with the way that we've been raised or the way that we are right now, and to recognize that, and to recognize, like, okay, you know what, this was not so good, and I want it to be better. And
this isn't really working for me anymore.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And to choose differently. So it's like, it kind of goes back to, like, noticing the stress in our bodies too, because it's a part of it. And that's how we can heal, is when we notice the stress when we notice that tightness, we're like, what is that all about? And it can take us back to a memory from, and this is what I work with my clients on too, is like, okay, let's, what does that stress remind you of? And it could be something from childhood. It could be something from an
accident. It usually starts there. Yeah. And
it usually starts there.
Oftentimes it is.
Yeah. It really is.
Yes.
I was just going to say one of my favorite supervisors that I worked with in psychology focused on children from 0 to 5, like, you know, just that young of an age. And so much happens in our lives before the age of 5. And so many things are set into motion before the age of 5 that we need to be able to undo and to recognize some of those things that it might be even pre-verbal to have healing.
In the womb,
In the womb, even. Right.
Like if you're, one thing just popped in, like if your mom was really stressed out when you were, you know, in utero, right, you can be wired, right? You could have, you know, taken on her emotions and just all of that. So it's so important to remember that the stress, what I'm hearing you say is the stress is not just what is happening in your life right now. But the stress that you've been carrying around in your body, body, mind, spirit, really could be all the way back from in utero or childhood. I think a big part of it often is.
Yes, I think you're right. And it's not a death sentence. It's not, that doesn't have to be a doomsday type of thing. We can heal from that. We can heal from even those things that we don't quite know what it is. It's still possible to heal 100% from those incidents.
Well, I believe that it's our body knocking on the door, right? Letting us, it's actually our body crying out when we have a physical or emotional symptom. It's our body, it's really a part of us reaching out and asking for help and healing. That's what I believe. So you got to feel it to heal it, right?
That's
Carolyn Mace says that.
Yes, that's true. It's so true. And feeling is a huge thing. I mean, for me, I think that's been a part of my healing journey is just experiencing my feelings and allowing those feelings where I used to, you know, and I was conditioned to stop them before I'd actually feel them. But it's so essential and so important for us to really be able to go into those feelings and feel them completely. Because even though it seems like it's the scariest thing in the world, it's never going to end, you can be assured that it always will end. And when we can go through it, then on the other side of that, we will find an even happier and an even better life.
So I think what you're saying right now, which is so important, I'm so glad you brought up the whole, what I'm hearing is that you, growing up, you were taught to stuff your emotions. Is that correct?
Yes, I would say
Yeah.
So
a lot of, I mean, me too, right? Everyone can raise their hand if they were. One or both parents, right? One or both parents, you were taught to stuff your emotions. And maybe they didn't say it to you. Maybe they did. Maybe they actually said something. But a lot of times it was just what you saw, right? It was what you saw growing up. You know, and we all have different emotions, I believe, that we're comfortable expressing and then those that are, quote, unquote, negative that we're not. And I find with a lot of my clients, right, that it's part of their stress is that they've cut off, like me, you know, what happened to me and you, they cut off or turned off, stuffed their emotions. And so now it's in their body. And really that's what's begging, right, to come out.
Yeah. Right. And it's like a key almost, is that when we can allow ourselves to feel that and to go into those wherever there's the tightness or the feeling, we can unlock something from our past or something that will help us to be more whole and more who we are.
And that will definitely lessen, you know, that will lessen the quote-unquote stress mentally, physically, and emotionally when we can just show up and be present with our emotions and then, of course, feel emotions that were stuffed, like you said, from past situations and memories that we've been carrying around as baggage, right? Whatever that quote-unquote baggage looks like for you. So is there anything that you want to share? Like, how did you move into doing the work that you're doing today? Like, what from your past or what pivotal point or situation in your life, like, how did you get into doing the coaching work that you're doing today around stress and balance and all that good stuff?
It's been, I would say, like a lifelong venture. little bits of healing along the way. One of the biggest things that clued me in to the food aspect of my work at was something that happened when I was in college. It was during finals week, and I had a final in about half an hour, and I found myself on the floor in my bathroom, doubled over with excruciating stomach pain and tears running down my face. And I didn't know what was going on or why this was happening. But as I was laying there, I realized that I had eaten nothing but Wendy's for the past 2 weeks straight.
Whoa.
Single with cheese, student combo, Biggie Fry, Biggie Diet Coke, extra ice.
I love it. For some people, it's McDonald's. For some people, it's Wendy's.
It was across the street from where I lived. My friends and I would go there all the time. It was, you know, easy. It was cheap. And it was finals week, so it was like, okay, yeah, that's what I'm doing. You know, it's like, oh,
it's a no-brainer.
But, right. And these types of things had happened before, but it was becoming more frequent and with much more intensity. And, you know, there was always this gnawing sense, like, yeah, maybe this isn't the best thing. But this was the wake-up call that was like, yeah, this needs to stop. I need to stop doing this.
Your GI was talking to you.
it was like banging me upside the head. And, you know, it's not that I stopped eating fast food overnight, because I didn't, but it was a realization that put me on the path to, like, I need to take care of my body. I need to put food in my body that's actually nourishing to my body. And I grew up eating relatively healthy, and I hadn't experienced this type of thing, you know, when I was living at home, but I realized, like, I needed to take more care of myself. And so that was like the impetus to really start me on looking at different ways to eat and really paying attention to how different foods made me feel. And, you know, I think I've always had food sensitivities, you know, even growing up, I had hives, you know, and I realized now looking back, that was probably from wheat and dairy, and some of the things that I know now are my foods that don't necessarily, I don't do well with. And so it's been this kind of uncovering process, because I've had, you know, and I also had intestinal issues growing up and as an adult. And once I found the foods that really work well for my body and avoid, for the most part, the foods that don't work well, everything runs smoothly. And I don't have those issues with allergies and those issues with constipation that were once just like a regular part of my life that I thought were, and achy joints, all of that I thought was like, oh, that's just who I am. It's like, no, actually, that's not. That's because of what I was eating.
I have a question. It's like, I don't know if you found this to be true, but I also had a lot of GI, you know, stuff. And then, of course, looked at the food component of it finally, especially when I had the MS. But, you know, I'd struggled with weight a long time as well. And did you find that once you took care of some of the other stress in your life, right, you made some, not just food, but I'm talking about the other stress as well, that some of the food stuff, I'm not saying that you could completely go and eat like wheat every day again or anything like that, but I found for me that I could eat maybe a little bit more of the stuff that would have totally torn me up in the past, or, you know, gas, bloating, you know what I'm saying, constipation. Once I took care of the other stressors in my life, I could maybe have a little, I wasn't quite as sensitive to those foods. Like, I still manage, right? I don't eat pizza every day, or I don't go to McDonald's every day, but I could handle a little bit more of that if I took care of the quote unquote other stress in my life.
Definitely. I've definitely found that. And from healing my gut, from, you know, really being, in, for a period of time, being more strict, it's allowed me now where I can have a couple of slices of pizza. You know, my husband and I went out to an event the other night, and it was just hors d'oeuvres, and I hadn't had anything else to eat, and I ate them, and I was fine, and had a couple glasses of champagne, and I could feel like, I noticed in my stomach the next day, like I felt like a little aggravation, like acid feeling when I eat too many like acidic foods, but that was it. I mean, I just noticed it, and I noticed like if I would do that for an extended period of time, I would really feel aggravated. But no,
absolutely,
it didn't derail me. You know, I didn't have any awful symptoms. But it's also about like paying attention to those subtle things.
Yeah, and I just had to bring that up. Yeah, I just had to bring that up because this is the thing I'm finding with so many of my clients. Is that, or not just my clients, but in general, people are so focused on shifting the food, and I think that is one piece to healing, right, to having a vibrant body. Mm-hmm. But we've got to remember there's more to it than just the food you eat. You've really got to, it's nurturing all parts of you, not just the food part.
and what is the pain? Where is the pain? And if there is like emotional eating, like let's look at that. What's going on? What, you know, there's reasons why we're doing that, why we're using food to fill our emotions. So let's go into the emotional aspect of that. Like, what are we running away from, or what are we trying to cover up? And I think
without Wendy's,
one of the gateways. Yeah, without Wendy's. Without destroying our health in the process. You know, it can be a gateway. I feel like food can be a gateway to understanding ourselves and to nourishing ourselves, you know, on a bigger level. Because food is one way to nourish ourselves, but really, like, how are we nourishing ourselves in our life? Like, how are we nourishing our relationships, and how are they nourishing us? And in the bigger community, do we have people in our lives that we can depend on and we can count on and that we trust? Multiple people. And if not, like, let's look at that. And I think most people want that. They want to be in community with people. I mean,
I don't think they realize that could be a piece. You know, a lot of my clients were like me in that they, you know, I seemed very social and very extroverted on the outside, but I didn't have a lot of close, you know, those friendships, those people that you could really count on.
Yeah,
and
right.
That was really, you know, a big piece. Yes, when I got the MS, of course I looked at my food and my nutrition and my supplements, and I did that piece, but then I also had to look at, like you said, how else am I nurturing me? And one area that I was lacking was a like-minded community of support, and reaching out for those people. So I'm glad that you brought that up again. I see that we're kind of getting close to our time. So one thing I do want to make sure that we do is I know we've shared a lot in this interview. I mean, we've probably been sprinkling tips and tools throughout the interview for everybody listening. But what are some concrete tips or tools that you would like to share with those people that are listening so that they can start stressing less, having more balance, nurture themselves more to fully have that vibrant body and abundant life?
We talked about implementing meditation, I highly recommend some form of meditation, sitting and just being quiet, as well as a breathing exercise. And there's lots of availability on the internet to help with those things.
And it can just be 5 minutes.
It can just be, you know, sitting and breathing for 2 minutes of deep breath. And that is going to, by implementing that, like even doing it multiple times throughout the day, even doing it once a day when you wake up, I think, it's going to set the scene for the rest of the day. So that's one thing that I always stress to my clients. And the thing that's wonderful about that is it doesn't cost any money. Anyone can do it. Anywhere.
You know what? No. I love that, because sitting silently and either watching your thoughts, meditating, or just breathing, it's amazing. I'm actually writing a chapter in my book right now on breath connection and the amazing, like just how amazing the breath is. And when I worked at the rehab hospital, it was amazing. I would just teach people, I would just simply teach them what you're talking about, to follow their breath in and out of their body with their eyes closed. And they would have amazing, like, results, like mentally, physically, and emotionally. It can be that simple, you know?
It can be that simple. It really can be that simple. Another tip, or another that I like to work with people on is sleep, making sure that we're getting enough sleep. And, you know, if we're not getting rested sleep, or if we need to use medication to help us sleep, like, let's look at that and let's see what we can do to really to help sleep. I mean, and one of the things, you know, lowering caffeine can be one of the things. Essential oils can help with getting more rest, but just with the lowering stress as well, and looking at what is keeping us awake can help with that. And
sleep is so
also
important to healing and releasing stress from the body.
And I'm surprised, you know, how many people I talk to that aren't getting the kind of sleep and the kind of rest that will really help them get through the day. So,
well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because this is the other thing. People, like stress, people don't realize. I think a lot of people don't realize that they're not, that their sleep is as bad as it is, and that they can do something about it. You know what I mean? I think that's, I worked at a sleep clinic for a year, and it was amazing how, I mean, just simple things you could do. And breathing and meditation will help your sleep as well.
Yes, right. All these things, I feel like they're all connected. And then looking at our dreams, too. That's the other one that I just wanted to mention quickly, and seeing, like, what, you know, our dreams have messages for us, and a lot of times we get the same message over and over and over again. And if we really start to pay attention to what that is, we can unlock some of the stress that is going throughout our lives, and see where we need to go to next by noticing what's going on in our dreams.
I love that you just brought up dreams, because I, too, believe and have experienced, right, those dreams where you keep getting the same thing over and over, and it's like, what is a part of me trying to tell myself, because I haven't been listening consciously?
Yes, right. And for me, it's the same thing. Like, I've learned a lot, you know, just being aware. Like, I would have anxious dreams a lot in my 20s, and it's like, why am I dreaming about the same thing, the same feeling? It's like not necessarily the same circumstances, but the same feeling in a lot of my dreams. And as I worked in the other areas of my life, that shifted too. And so even just noticing those things, we can start shifting things in our life. I mean, I feel like it's like all this unwinding process of, you know, evolving and getting to higher levels of consciousness. And that's my thoughts of why we're even here on Earth, is to really, it's to heal and to become more conscious.
To heal so we can evolve, right? So we can evolve is really why we're here. And it all starts with the body. You know, I mean, it's all connected. It's all connected, right? But our bodies, we really, all of it.
And we get to do this. Like, to look at it as kind of fun.
We chose.
We get to do this. We get to figure this out.
I always tell my people that are so frustrated some days and so why is this happening and why am I here? I'm a gentle reminder to everybody listening. You know, I believe that we chose to be here at this time.
Yes.
I really do believe our souls chose to be here at this time. So when you get frustrated, you know, with stuff, it's like just that gentle reminder can sometimes bring a little more ease and peace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it doesn't need to be too serious. And there's no right or wrong or perfect. We can just kind of like, let's just do the best we can every day and we'll learn something new. We keep on moving in that direction.
I think just letting go of perfection would decrease a lot of stress for most people listening.
Yeah.
That's one of my, I'm going to add that in as one of my tips and tools. So
beautiful.
So you have a gift for us, Restore Your Radiance. Can you tell us a little bit more about this gift?
Yeah, so I have a webinar, which I think there's a link on your page where you can just sign up to receive the webinar, and I will be sharing 3 simple, sustainable ways to experience healthy digestion, all-day energy, better focus, and heightened creativity in this webinar. And then there's also a foods list there about foods to eat for energy and foods to avoid to have better energy, as well as the opportunity to sign up for a free consultation with me. If what I've shared and if you are interested in connecting with me some more, you can sign up for a 20-minute consultation, and we will discuss your most pressing physical, energetic, or spiritual concerns.
Awesome. So you guys, you can receive this amazing free gift from Nadia, Restore Your Radiance, by going to the link right below this audio and clicking it. And then it'll take you to her beautiful page, and you can sign up for that. So again, Nadia, I just want to thank you so much for this keeping it real conversation today around stress and life balance and nurturing you. We covered a lot of ground today, sister.
We sure did. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Tanya. I really appreciate this opportunity. It was a great conversation. I love what you're doing. I love what you're putting out there. And I know that your listeners must be getting so much from your offerings as well. So thank you for including me. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. And I just want to take a moment to thank everyone who is listening, joining us for the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life. Thank you for joining us. I hope that we gave you some nuggets of wisdom today and some tips and tools that you can start using right away. And if you haven't yet, you can also receive the Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Blueprint, which is my free gift, the 10 keys to co-creating and living your healthy life of purpose, passion, with abundance and ultimate freedom. And that link is below here as well. And there's just tons of amazing gifts and speakers, so please do receive all your free gifts to the people that are calling out to you that you're really resonating with. And as always, I'm Tanya Penny, Self-Love Catalyst, Vibrant Body and Abundant Life Coach, and I want to leave you today with my favorite little quote, which is, remember progress, not perfection. So I truly do believe that if we are able to release or soothe that little perfectionist within us, that we can truly heal, receive, shine our light fully in the world. I look forward to seeing you soon, and have a beautiful, beautiful day of stressing less, life balance, and nurturing you. Bye.
Bye.